I'd like to add to what our brother announced in your appreciation and your for fellowship extended to others, because you are the assembly, and so I'd like to address you. Although I mentioned it in the conference meetings, we do appreciate that you paid for our fare to come down on this occasion. We had no miles on our mileage at all, and the cupboard was bare. We didn't have enough to come. But as you know, it was certainly of the Lord. We thought, well, maybe it's not the Lord's time for us to go, because the funds were not there. And so we contacted the brethren here, but we're very sure that it was of the Lord. And so thank you for your fellowship in the fair. We do appreciate that. Worldwide, the gospel effort has had some restriction over the last 2 years with the worldwide recession, especially from our American brethren. We could not produce the millions of pieces of literature that we produce freely every year for the mainland. We publish in different localities, and we produce a lot of literature. But since the Olympics in Beijing, and since the worldwide downturn globally, it has meant that things have been a little bit, well, the servants of the Lord still have to look to the Lord then and even now. I thought that it would be helpful to look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2 and verse 1. And again, we have the word that I particularly chose for the conference meetings. Colossians 2 verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance and understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. There it is, the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Thinking particularly those words, the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You will know that the new creation is mentioned apart from if any man be in Christ, there is a new creation in Corinthians, but the new creation is mentioned relative to what is the new creation, what is it to be in Christ. And we're told that in Ephesians and in Colossians, the new creation is to be renewed in the holiness of truth, righteousness, the knowledge of God. In other words, when Adam had fallen, he had lost this that was his in the innocent state. To be born again, to be recreated, to be in the new creation is to now have knowledge according to the life that is ours in Christ Jesus. And we are, this knowledge and this truth and this holiness is of a very distinct nature. It cannot be replicated. It cannot be a virtual reality thing. I ain't much good on a computer, I can tell you. I'm computer illiterate and proud of it, because I've got other great workers who can do it. If you live in Asia, they're very, in technology, they're very, very savvy. I have no time to be into the computer. I'm still trying to work at John 3:16. But the computers are great. There are many things that can be done. We don't want to be like those who just repudiate it. They can be a very useful tool, but they're very dangerous when it just becomes a game of virtual reality. We want reality. We want the real thing. virtual reality is to play with the imagination, and it will end in tremendous discontent in the heart of the one who occupies himself in virtual reality. So the computer is tremendously useful. Where would we be without our mobile phones? I mean, life has changed tremendously. When I was back in Adelaide last year, I picked up a book of which, and learned something of which I had no idea, that there was such a thing called the XYZ generation. You're the X generation. You're the Z. You're the Y generation. I'm not. When I went to China, we were pounds, shillings and pence in Australia. And I caught a ship to right up to Singapore and got off and saw missionaries there, and then got another ship to Hong Kong. And things have changed. And many of them are very wonderful means whereby we can transmit the gospel. But we still need reality, not virtual reality. When we've experienced the new birth, it's tremendously important that the next generation, the XYZ generation, experience the reality of the new birth. The young, my concern, coming back, as I do, I have reverse culture shock. I sort of have to reverse back the other way when I come back and see what has happened in my beloved Australia. And I see that the younger generation, especially the X's and the Y's, we haven't got to the millennium generation yet, but the X generation and the Y generation that are all with all their technology savvy, they are becoming more and more removed from reality. And in their thinking, they think that you and me, the baby boomer generation, and those who talk about God before, they think that we are a sort of, well, we're dinosaurs for sure, but they believe that, well, it's really a little unreal. So I feel what is important is they need to sense the reality of that which we have experienced. Because having been born again, born from above, it is a real experience. It's reality. It's not pie in the sky. They, at this stage, are living in an unreal world. They're living in virtual reality. But to have experienced what it is to be born again and to have been set free, because as you know, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. There's nothing so kingly as kindness, and there's nothing as royal as truth. God's truth not only ennobles, but, and it's not virtual, it's real. It does set free. So, I particularly was thinking of the verse we sang in the hymn, not only God is love, because you notice that in that hymn that we sang, 79, is it? 30, was it?
39.
In glory, verse 4, in glory we shall sing again, God is love. This should be our lofty strain, God is love. While endless ages roll along, in concert with the heavenly throng, this shall be our sweetest song, God is love. It is a reality. Because there is going to be such a thing as an endless priesthood. And those that are a part of the endless priesthood, it is a perpetual priesthood, of which there are types in the Old Testament, because they did not join in the idolatry of the day. They were given not only Because as you know, the Bible will talk about different priesthoods. There's the Melchizedek priesthood. There's the Aaronic priesthood. There is the Christian priesthood today. And they will have a function for the ages of eternity. A real issue. Because the priests of God will make known to the universe the wealth and the treasure that is theirs in this new life that they have in Christ. It's a real life, friend. A young person, if you're on the if you're on the borderline, not knowing whether those that are a bit older and you think that they sort of just blather on and talk a lot of words, that's only the outward thing. The reality of the life that you have in Christ is real. Then I asked us to sing particularly John Newton's hymn, I've lost it now, 79 I think it was, 79. As you know, John Newton will mention in all of his hymns, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, saved by grace through faith. I don't suppose there's been many that have been in this hall who have dared to do the unspeakable. And that is, San Oi Sayan. Sam Ji Jern Tadik Tuk San Ji Chi Kap Tamun. We're allowed to speak in the tongue, aren't we? Because I can interpret it this morning. Yan Jerk. Yandin, Chikchok Yandin, Modidaka, so you don't have to go to Hong Kong or China, you've been in a Chinese meeting. Because no matter which part of the world, no matter where it is, the moment that by grace are you saved, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the grace is the gift of God. John Newton's hymns will be all about this amazing grace that reached him, and he experienced what it was to be forgiven of God. And this man with a vile track record became a great channel of blessing. And how can we ever measure how many people have been touched by amazing grace? How rich the sound that saved a wretch like me. He'll say it again in hymn 79. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. But verse 3. Dear name, the rock on which we build, our shield and hiding place, our never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace. Boundless stores of grace. I will not allow the unbelieving, unreal people affect me to touch virtual reality or virtual love or virtual grace. It's real, friend. It's absolute. Those of you that are septuagenarians, over 60 or over 70, over 80, you've proven that grace, and you know it's real. It's real. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking the computer. Go for it and use it to God's glory. I'm one of those people that like to correct myself all the time when we say, well, isn't that wonderful? We save time. No, that's not what a Christian says. We don't talk about saving time. Did it help you to have more time for the Lord? If it meant that you just had a shortcut so that you could just live in a virtual vacuum of selfishness, then it didn't save you anything. Why should you have a dishwashing machine if it just saved you time to be lazy and careless for other things? That's not of the Lord, is it? But to have things and wonderful mobile phones that we can be in touch, etc. We can Skype to people, rather than have to catch planes all over the world. We can see each other. We can converse. They're good if it results in glory and honour to God. But if it means that we just go on into a lifestyle of virtual truth, virtual reality, then it's all been wrong. We are deceiving ourselves. Our never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace. The wealth and the treasure that is now ours and at our disposal is so wonderful. Amazing grace, amazing provision. A man called Brother Watson, it was his responsibility to open a very august meeting of Christians. It was a large gathering. And this particular gentleman, is reported by Brother Watson, he stood up, and he was a man who had spent all of his years in the financial world. He had dealt in stocks and shares. He had dealt in deep finance. And he stood up and he announced that hymn, that very hymn. When he came to the words, my never-failing treasury of boundless stores of grace, he said, let me tell you what it means to me. He said, if I were this very day to be wiped out completely through a financial downturn, if it were to all be taken away from me, all that I've accumulated, all that I've been able to get, the reality of all this, these funds at my disposal, if it were all to be wiped out, and if I were so nervous to even put my pen to the smallest amount to write out a check, if I were nervous to do that, he said, but then if at that moment, on my shoulder, the hand of the billionaire Rockefeller stood behind me and beside me and said, go ahead, write out what it is that you need. I will be good for whatever it is that you endorse. I will endorse it. He said, when as a hopeless, helpless sinner, I turned to Christ, and when the Lord Jesus said to me, all that I am, all that I have done, it is yours. It is yours. And then he opened the meeting with that hymn, and he said, my never-failing treasury, filled with boundless stores of grace. He said, I know it. I've experienced it. I've proven it again and again. God has his hidden treasury, because we've read it here in Colossians 2 that our hearts can be positively comforted and encouraged, knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance and understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What a wonderful thing it is to open also at Colossians and to read all of the riches that are ours, our heavenly riches, real, eternal, lasting riches that belong to the believer. What a thrill it is. Remember the hymn of Mr. Darby. It's the treasure that I've found in his love that has made me a pilgrim below. The treasure of it. The reality of it. And so, time is finished. But my little comment to you this morning is this. I need your prayer this week. Because if we are to make known the virtual reality only, we will not get there. But if we make the positive impression upon someone in your family, some loved one, some loved neighbour that you have, and they come to and they hear the gospel, and they discover that not pie in the sky, but reality. God is love. And even greater than the fact that we know God is love. is that God has manifested that love to us. Not only is he love, not only with a causeless reason, there was no cause in us, but God, in the great dimension of his love, has demonstrated that love to us in the gift of his beloved Son, and in that Christ died for the ungodly. We cannot tell all that Christ died for them as their substitute until they say, I, me, my, the sinner. The moment they do that, he has died for the ungodly. The moment they confess, I, me, the ungodly sinner, and they stretch out their hand and say, for me, is it for me? Dare I trust in him? Trust in him? Put my life's confidence for time and eternity in him? Yes, you can. Don't draw back. Don't draw back. Don't draw aside. Put your trust in him. And that moment, in that moment, the miracle of the age will take place. They will be born again from above. And they will experience the reality of the boundless stores of grace that are in our Lord Jesus Christ. They're all hid in him. The mystery and the wonder of it is that God is going to have with him people like you and I that have enthroned the Lord in the right place, that we give him utter devotion. Our attention is to him, and it's a reality. It's a living reality. And then in the world of X generation and Y generation, it doesn't matter. Let them play on with their computers. Let them do it. But let us make sure we reveal to them the reality of the love and grace that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is a boundless store of it. And the result will be saved in a freedom. There's nothing so great as what it is to be set free by this grace of God, to know the love of God, and to be forgiven, pardoned, and to step from this moment forward for them, saved, redeemed, and set free. I need your prayer. And as you pray, we can expect God to work mightily in the heart of those who hear the word of God and hear the voice of God wooing and drawing them to put their trust in him. If we do it together, we'll see souls saved. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we are so thankful for thy goodness to us again today, for sustaining our souls in life, that we might be here, to fellowship together, and to worship together, and remember together, and to show forth the death of the Lord together, the risen, victorious Lord Jesus, and to worship and to remember him. We thank thee that the only way to obtain these priceless treasures, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are hid in him, is to have this storehouse in him. We rejoice that he possesses them all, for we know the one who, although he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we in him and in Christ might have these riches eternal. We thank thee, our God, that we have redemption and the riches as being co-heirs with him. We thank thee, our God, therefore, for thy goodness to us. We ask that thou bless us now for the remainder of the day. We look to thee and we pray these things with thankful hearts in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.